for years. Although, here we have an opportunity at least to get some insight from someone who clearly appreciates the matter, someone who is a Rav, someone who's a great Talmid Chacham, knows my brother, like Mir Yeshiva, who is in a very beautiful position to hopefully give simple people like me some clarity in this rather complex shoals that we have to navigate in international business. So without further ado, great covenant, great schools to have.
Thank you, Kvod HaRav. Thank you all for thanks to the Sedrish. Thanks to all of you for coming. I became acquainted with this sugya originally 23 years ago when I began traveling to Japan for the OU, which I've done since then. Corona accepted, not since February last year, but otherwise. Traveled to Japan. When I began, I traveled with Elsky Zatzal, who was the place for the OU, and he told me I should keep the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Now, we'll discuss exactly what the Chazon Ish opinion is and the other well known opinion. What that meant for me was, but Shabbos, Elsky was really quite stringent. He made me keep just about everything, just about the Rabbanus, the Rices for 2 days. So whenever I came to Japan, I was there for a Shabbos in between, six times a year. My first 4 years of my tenure, I kept what I call a 50-hour Shabbos. I gave the shiur over a certain location, and they said, no, 49-hour Shabbos. I explained that I keep a longer remaining time than they do. So a 50-hour Shabbos. But I don't know if anyone's ever experienced what exactly that means. We have 2 days yontiv. Those coming from America remember 3 day yontiv. Rosh Hashanah will be on a Thursday. Have a 3 day yontiv. But you can still cook. You can still do things. 50-hour Shabbat in your hotel room. Like this. There you are, and it's a long time. The Ayin Hara. It's a long time. And eventually, I opted out. I decided to go to first to Hong Kong, then to Shanghai for Shabbat, so I wouldn't have any Shabbat. But one merit I take with me is that we have a Kabbalah that until Klal Yisrael finishes Shabbos, the last one says Kedusha Desidra, so then Shabbos don't go back again. So for those years, that was the last one, besides Amshanover, but besides Amshanover, I was the last one who wasn't schlepping it out, who was able to take out Shabbos, and all those, I don't know how many, millions of neshamas were saved for another day of Yanam because of me. So I hopefully the Rebbe will return the favor one day, and whatever I should be saved from. And so that's what I do take with me. But eventually I just opted out and go to Shanghai and Hong Kong, where life is simpler. Now, one more word of introduction. This is not, as the Maharadasra said, this is not a simple sugya. And I'm not going to make you dive in and drown on the spot, despite my natural inclination to do so, but I've learned some things over the years. I'm not going to do that to you. Eventually, we'll discuss it. It's all been simplified, but even so, it's hard to keep track of things. It's hard to keep track even of what happens when you cross the dateline. Is it earlier? Is it later? The same way, really, it's hard to keep track of what happens when you fly from California to New York. Do we call New York earlier or late? What do you call it? Well, the clock is later, right? It's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. At 6 o'clock in New York, really it's earlier, right? Because it's earlier in the path of the sun. The sun's been here already before it's been to Los Angeles. It's set here 3 hours before it sets Los Angeles. So even the earlier and later can get quite confusing, and certainly other things, it's hard. I've done my best to simplify it. I had success, Baruch Hashem, this year in taking along the Olam, but I know it's hard. It took me 5 years to do this. A lot of that was with my head on the table when I just pushed it. Blanked out and couldn't keep track. I wouldn't say which end is up, but which end is east. And so please come with me. There are two main opinions that are well known. Two main. One is the opinion of Yechiel Michel Tukhachinsky. And he wrote the Sefer HaYomam, which he put out in the 1940s, which was his dissertation on why the dateline should be 180 degrees. East of Yerushalayim, which means opposite Yerushalayim. That's his opinion. If you see the dateline, puts most of Alaska to the west of it. And otherwise, it doesn't disturb too much. We'll see if it does disturb something very important. Just for purpose of notice, here's Hawaii right here on this side of the line, on the Asian side of the line, and most of Alaska on the Asian side of the line. That's his opinion. What was his opinion based on? It was based on his svara, his conviction, really, much more than a svara, that these red dots here, Yerushalayim, this is an extended world map, so you can see it on both sides. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, you can recognize that. His conviction was Yerushalayim is the center of the world. That's not his idea, that the Balamor and the Kuzari said Yerushalayim is the center of the world, even the geographical center of the world. Many, even Glacier theologians, held at that time that it was the center of the world. Some people fudged it, but there are many who held the center of the world. Center of the world, and therefore it's logical to say that if you have to define the day, it spreads equally on both sides, 180 degrees to the east, 180 degrees to the west, and where they meet, opposite Yerushalayim, is where the day should divide. Everything's symmetrical. That's the Chiyomichel Tukashinsky's opinion. It's not based on any Gemara, any Rishon. There's not a Makor for this at all, except this is what makes sense. And that's where he was coming from. That's his sheet, the well-known opinion. That's the first well-known opinion. Second well-known opinion is the opinion of the Chazon Ish, as a rebuttal and a refutation of the Chiyomichel Tukashinsky Sefer Yomam. The Chazon Ish put out the Kuntres Yud Ches Shos. And Yud Ches Shos doesn't mean the Yud Ches Shos that we saw in the Gemara, that by a molad yashan, that it's Yud Ches in Yerushalayim, and otherwise it's a bubble. It means, here's what we're going to see what Yud Ches Shos means. It doesn't mean that, it means something else. The Chazon Ish held that the line is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Here's what Tukashinsky's line. Here's the Chazon Ish is 90 degrees away from it, which is one quarter of the world. This line here goes through Siberia, eastern Siberia. It goes just to the west of Korea and just to the west of Shanghai. Here's Shanghai right over here. You have like 3 degrees in between Shanghai and this line. It cuts one of the islands of the Philippines. No one would ever want to travel there anyway because that's where the gorillas are free. But I don't mean the kind they put in the zoo, right? And over here, it goes through Australia, and around three quarters of Australia is on, shall we say, the American side of the world. And only a little bit of Australia is on the west. This is Chazon Ish's line, which has nothing to do with Svara, which Chazon Ish says is derived from the Rishonim who derived it. When a Kabbalah did it, so that's the Chazon Ish's opinion. And the Chazon Ish says in Yud Ches Shos, about Rav Tukashinsky's line, that you're coming with Svara. Svara has no bearing when you have the words of the Rishonim. If the Rishonim tell you something and they don't agree, then your Svara goes out the window. And that's a very strong, very, very strong argument. And that's the argument he makes time and time again in Yud Ches Shos, but the attacks, really, that's even mild. Rav Tukashinsky, who says that, you know, it's very strange to say it's not symmetrical. He says, strange. What do you mean by that strange? Rishonim say that's what it is. We know. Rishonim can do what he wants with the Torah. Rishonim tell us what he wants. So if we take a look at the Chazon Ish sheet here, again, we have Yerushalayim. I have the Chazon Ish sheet, the green, color-coded in green, hopefully known as your red-green colorblind. But color-coded in green, again, we have Yerushalayim spread out on an extended world map. And his sheet is that it's not symmetrical at all. It goes 90 degrees to the east today, and then 270 degrees to the west, and that is how the day is defined. This is all after Yerushalayim, the progression of the day, and the sun sets here, and the sun sets here, it's all the same day, and you cross over the line. If this were Monday, you'd go to Tuesday. If this was Shabbos, you'd go to Sunday, okay? That's what he holds. The day is not spent on. This is the Yud Ches Shos. That the sun goes around the world, it takes 24 hours, right? This is a stretch of 24 hours. It's one revolution of the sun around the world. Here's your Yud Ches Shos, 18 hours over here. That's the Chazon Ish's Yud Ches Shos. In any event, Chazon Ish says this, as we'll see later, this is what the Kuzari and the Balaturim say, the Balamor say. Therefore, don't tell me anything about symmetry. Don't tell me the line should be here because it's equal. They say it's not equal. They say it's not equal. So then they say that it's not a problem for it not to be equal. So therefore, Rav Tukashinsky your line goes away. Yes. It does, but we're just looking for our you took relativity in college? You did. So did I. Okay. Now I mostly basically focused on equations, right? But besides equations, the point is we can look at it this way, look at perspective. Perspective, right? Exactly. Perspective. Yeah.
You mentioned that Prasanish said that you got it. Oh, I'm sorry, it sounds like.
We'll see. We're getting it. Okay. We're not there yet.
Is that Mizra? What they?
This is Ixayah Mizra. We'll see. Again, someone looked inside the Balamora, but we'll see. We'll get it. Okay. But yes, this is Ixayah Mizra right here. And then this is the extension of the day to the Ma'ara, where they meet Islam. If any more about this, it really is not a line, but let's just try it. It's going to be hard enough as it is, okay? Happy, anyone who wants more detail, number one, this is an excellent source of more detail. By the way, and they're on a special issue, 220 shekel today, they're 150 shekel, got the Yerua. But I'm also happy to share it, even if you don't buy a second. But I'll be even happier if you buy them. Okay, now, next. All right? Now, here we go. We have a couple more lines here that we'll just deal with in passing. These people are not relevant, by the way. These are the people who attended President Harding's International Meridian Conference in 1884. And they made something called the International Daylight. This squiggly thing here, which they put sort of 180 degrees opposite Greenwich, England, except for disturbed Russia, they moved it to the other side of Siberia. Disturbed America, who already had bought Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, they moved it over here. They disturbed here Pago Pago and Samal, they put it over here. They schlepped it around. So theory has a line, but it's a line of convenience and convention. The Goyim got together. These are all Goyim. I don't know if we're going to get in there, but anyway, they wore some war hats, by the way. They are Goyim. From Greenwich.
Not the same.
No, from Greenwich. Nothing to do by them. You know, Greenwich is the center of the world, to say. Anyway, from Greenwich, and here's a lot. Now, Lachara, we would say that in 1884, going to get together in Washington, D.C., they can't make any trius lava. Who are they? Right? What were they? No one gave them any power. However, Rabbi Salom Stern, who used to live in Melbourne's down here, he was the rabbi of the Adas in Melbourne. He wrote many tshuvas about what happens when you travel from Australia to America to wherever. He didn't write a single tshuva, not a one. No one in Australia wrote a single tshuva about what day all these people in Australia should be observing. In Melbourne, in Sydney, in Brisbane, all on the eastern coast of Australia, there's not a single tshuva. It was taken for granted. That's very clear in the Stern's tshuva. It's the tshuva of many Svarim, and Selah Chachma, tshuva, tshuva, Selah Chachma. It's very clear, he took it for granted that the line was the International Day. Meaning, the Goyim said, this way, that way, and that's what the Rebbe Shlomo wants us to observe. The way the world was mechalik itself. The world was mechalik itself. Now the world of the... Most of us don't go with that as far as we're going to abandon it. However, just to give it a little more bearing, the Kuzari says, someone here has already bought the Kuzari, at least Perik Beis, Post Chav. The Kuzari says, now, the Kuzari is explaining to the Khazar king the primacy of Eretz Yisrael. That's his job. And that little ket over there is explaining why Eretz Yisrael is so chashuv more than any place else. And part of the king's question was, well, if Eretz Yisrael is so chashuv, so how come the day starts from China? They called it China. The eastern edge of civilization, they called China. Even though there was no country and no communists, and there was no AliExpress, and there was no kashrus. There was nothing. China was nothing. But they called the eastern edge of society China. Those who are traveling to China know that the symbol for China is a little box with a line going through it, which means the middle of. So they took even the name, that's what communists can do. They took Enzyme, sorry. And they took even the name and they distorted it, even though China means the east. And that's how the Rishonim used it for every country. They made it mean the middle. That's what they decided. But anyway, back to here. So the Kuzari says that how come everyone on the entire Asian landmass keeps the same day? There's no machlok, there's no dispute about what day of the week is. How come that is? And the Kuzari says, because Adam HaRishon started in Shulayim. and then civilization group doesn't exactly deal with the Torah flood and what effect that happened. The Nagals are scattered everyone all over the world. But Anshul, people spread out. And as they spread out over the world, they took the day with them. So I'm traveling. I have no deadline for me. The sun sets a little earlier as I go east and a little earlier. I get all the way over here and the sun sets a little earlier. The same here. I go to Europe, sun sets a little later. I don't know if there's any difference day. And that's why everyone's keeping the same day. And Africa as well, but that doesn't really involve going east or west so much. That's what the Kuzari says. Really, the Kuzari is sort of adopting the concept that the day goes lefi civilization. He doesn't say that you make a convention and decide it, but he does say the national spread of civilization kind of decides it. Meaning the Bolshom sort of left it that we should observe the night. He's not talking about that per se, but he's really talking about it. That the day is determined by the natural flow of civilization. Whether that includes an international origin conference or not is highly debatable, but it could. And that's where Bibsalon Stern out. The titles we're going to, this is the last time you're going to hear about this year, opposed to post, and don't go with this, but Bibsalon Stern was a post site, and he did go with it. There are others who went with it, but at any rate, it's just good to know that even something that we would reject out of hand is there's a place.
Is that because you're unclear? What he meant,
but
we know what he meant.
He said that civilization, these are his words.
He meant
Eastern other civilization. He certainly meant that.
So he meant that line from the guy.
Skip the line for a minute. We'll get to whether there's a line. He meant here. He meant all of this. Whether Kuzari realized it went like that, Pashtas, they had a very fuzzy picture, really, no picture of the eastern contours of Asia. This is evidenced by Ptolemy's map, which I don't have in this presentation. I have it here. And they just held the whole side was 90 degrees. That's how they thought geography was. No one, it hadn't been charted. No one, so that's what they held.
It was about 90 degrees.
That's what they held. They held the whole thing was 90. But whether you held a line or not, Kuzari wasn't talking about a line. He was talking about that the date spread across the land. That's what we're talking about. We'll see. All right, now. So that's one opinion we discussed. Just another opinion and passing, and then we're going to move on to our discussion of the Chazon Ish line. Now, I didn't have my graphics, isn't so good. I learned PowerPoint on the fly here. But this curvy line here, which is sort of contained in this highlighted area here, this is a line of Rebbe Shapira, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch Zion. He was a big Bakian Zmanim at the time of World War II and before. And beforehand, he actually sat on Hertzog's face and he was there. He has the most really ingenious line that there is. His line is a curvy line which slides right between the tip of Alaska and the tip of Siberia. It's only 85 kilometers here. It slides right through, leaving Alaska on the right side, the Aleutian Islands on the right side, Siberia on the correct side, going down here, leaving Hawaii on the right side, and even curving here out of the way of New Zealand, leaving New Zealand on the right. Everyone gets to keep the day that they're used to. Now, he didn't do that to make such a thing. He based it, calculated on where the sun was at Maisib when it was first lit in the sky on the fourth day of Maisib Rishis, and where sunset was and where twilight was. Twilight is longer in higher latitudes, so that's why you get this big curve over here. The thing almost curves like this one once you get higher. So that's why you get the whole curve over here. It's a very interesting thing. You spend a whole shiur on it. It's really fascinating. We're not going to do that today. But just to note, I call this the geopolitically correct baseline. But it was his shita. No one goes with it. But that's not true, really. There is a rub who goes with it. But I don't go with his side. It's not like I mentioned it. But that's his shita. So we saw four shitas. We're only going to focus on the two main ones that everyone knows. The Kuczynski shita, which is the opposite of Yerushalayim. Chazni shita is 90 degrees east of Shul. Okay. Now, what...
Isn't that last sheet that we just looked at like the most natural and sort of obvious approach?
What do you mean?
The world. Hashem created the world with a slice between Alaska and Russia, and he organized everything to pieces, and there you got the looks very nice. What we're going to show on it.
It's very fascinating, but there's not a latitude line, excuse me, a longitude line in the world. There's not an up and down line in the world, any place in the world, 360 around the world, where you're not going to run from some land. There's no clean line on the whole face of Earth. Not a one. So this, since we're Americans, so this looks like a good line here because this is a nice political divide and everything, but it doesn't, it still goes through land. There's not a clean line on the whole surface of the world. And you have to trust me, my dear friend, Rabbi David Heber, who is like into this, like, you know, I'm into up to my ankles, he's in up to his nose. And he searched and he searched and he searched for a place on the world, and eventually he was conceded to me that there isn't. So looking for the natural divide is not clear. Yeah, it's, there is a certain Pausek who came up with such an idea, and even more refined, there are two little islands in the Bering Strait called the Diomed Islands. One's on Russia's side, one's Bering side, and Helmut's got to be right between them. We don't have time for that today, and time for just its own innovation. And but so really, your Dinah maybe would have some currency if there was such a place in the world, but there isn't. Okay. You can look, you know, don't trust me, right? You can look yourself, but it's not there. There's no place in the world. There's no latitude. And even he couldn't do it. He made this curve. So fine. Now let's go. So these are the two main cheetahs. Now, what falls in between? Again, the fear of Tukishinsky, I'm just going to call this Monday and call this Tuesday. Be any other day of the week. This is just for purposes of illustration. I'm using these days. This could be Shabbos. This could be Sunday. Here's Monday in America. Here at the same time is Tuesday in China. Okay? Clear. In between here. According to Kaczynski, Monday ends here. From here starts Tuesday. We're in the Chazanish. Tuesday ends here. From here starts Monday. In between here, according to Chazanish is Monday. According to Kaczynski is Tuesday. Or any other day. Okay? What's in between? Most of Alaska, as we saw, Eastern Siberia, Japan, Hawaii, Australia, and New Zealand. Okay? That means that, according to Chazon Ish, all these places, but we'll see what happens with Australia later, and Eastern Siberia, but all these places call themselves Tuesday, just like China does, but really they're wrong. Really, it's La Loch, it's Monday. He calls himself Tuesday. We'll see. It doesn't work like that, but let's just, he called himself Tuesday, Australia, New Zealand, really they're wrong. Because Tuesday ends here. Really, all these should be Monday. Now, if you're in Tukishinsky, Hawaii calls itself Monday, Alaska calls itself Monday, because they're going to America, US, really they're wrong, because Monday ends here. Really should be Tuesday. I mean, their calendar's a day behind, which means in Japan, according to Chazon Ish, when they say it's Saturday, when it has an ish, it's Friday. It's Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is on Sunday. According to Tukishinsky in Hawaii, when they say it's Friday, really they're wrong. They're a day behind. Really it's Shabbos. Okay? So we're going to go through this a little more late, but that's basically, this is a layout, six important geographical areas that will fall in between these two opinions. Okay, now let's see. Alaska also, Alaska's there, Alaska's there. Okay, most of Alaska, the little eastern part of Alaska, say, most of Alaska, okay, which includes Anchorage, and, okay. Interestingly enough, as we already mentioned, Australia had a community from 100 years before the war, before World War II, and there was never any debate that anyone was keeping the wrong day there, even though they kept exactly the day on the calendar, which if you the Chazanish Lachara, Shabbos should have been on. The Chazish wasn't around, but the logic of his opinion was the theory around. Shabbos should have been on Sunday, and Erev Shabbos should have been on Saturday. Because even though they're saying that they're Saturday, just like here, but really it should be fell off the week Friday. And when they call it Sunday, that's really Shabbos. No one ever discussed Australia. No one bothered them.
Once you start on the Israel side, the Asian side of the country, the state.
We'll see. Very good. We'll see. We'll get there. I see a lot of people here either have very good heads, probably a lot do, or else have done some reading also, or some learning and studying, but whatever the case may be, you're not wrong, but let's see. Well, for the meantime, let's just see how it should be in theory, okay? No one ever discussed it. No one bothered them. Japan had a community from around the 1910s, refugee community. When they settled, they received advice from Rav Kisilov. Was a European rug who was imported to the eastern China city of Harbin around here, also on this side of the line. He advised them that the same way they call Saturday in Asia, Shabbos, you guys should also call Saturday Shabbos. That was the advice he gave him through his counsel. Okay, that's what Rav Kislev did over here. Through his counsel. No one bothered Australia. Even when the war came, the refugees showed up in Kobe. No one bothered Australia. It's exactly the same question about what the day is. They are, but no one bothered Australia. Australia has a custom. That was fine. Japan had a custom. It wasn't fine. It's a historical anomaly. I don't know the reason for it. I don't know why. Even when they finally came to sit, Shulchan Adiyunim, about the Shaila, Australia was interested. And to this day, it must be made. Thank you very much. To this day, it must be made. And despite my many, many efforts to try to get the Australians involved in hearing Shir from me, I was unsuccessful. It doesn't, the lo ola ala b'cheshbon. They know what their day is. They don't want it. So that's how it was. That's how it is. And that's their minig, really. Their minig is not the bother. That was everyone's minig. They only bothered and discussed Japan. No one discussed Israel. I don't have an answer to that. It's just an interesting historical point.
At that time, is Japan and Australia keeping the same day?
Yes. Same Malachian day. But Japan, they had a suffix, the refugees came, and they asked different people. They asked different people, the Brisker Dayan, Rubiger, other people. They asked, they didn't know, some people kept one day Shabbat, a lot of the Shabbos, the Rebbe Yeshiva really kept, just like Michal Mechel Tukashinsky, it says Reb Chaim Shmuel, until 2 weeks before they left, Reb Lez Yehuda Finkel sent them a telegram that from now on you keep with the Chazon Ish. Reb Chatzin got up and asked the Chazon Ish, and then they got on a boat and went to to China, and all but two of them were gone before Yom Kippur. And so Shabbos, they can manage.
None of them kept Suda-Shishas.
Suda-Shishas? No. You don't, even if you keep the TR Shabbos, you don't need a Suda-Shishas. You only need three Sudas, right? There's no excuse. That's a clown god in the world. There's no real excuse for getting fat. You can't make a firm issue out of it. Yeah.
When would Reb Tushinsky say for problems?
After in the 1940s, after they had the deal about the refugees, he put out a sefer to explain his opinion. The Chazon Ish put out a sefer to rebut it, and they say Kachaymim that Reb Tushinsky wrote, but another sefer in rebutting the Chazon Ish's rebuttal of his sefer. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. And they say the Brisker Rav came to him and they said, "Listen, Adkan, I kept out of this. If you put this out, I'm going to go ahead and like throw you in the water." So that's on. And you said yours, as he said his, and everybody's stopping right here. It was a very acrimonious debate. It wasn't pleasant. Any event, Shabbos you can manage. But then came Yom Kippur. October 1, 1941, Lefi, the Shita of Tukashinsky, Lefi, the local calendar, was Yom Kippur, 10th of Tishrei. Oh, please shut off your cell phone. Sorry. I always do that middle of the shiur here, so everyone should know that that's what they're supposed to do. Now, the Chazon Ish sent a telegram to the refugees, letting them know that they shouldn't fast on Wednesday. They should eat on Wednesday, and instead they should fast on Thursday. Because according to Chazon Ish, Daphne's calendar is a day ahead of itself. They keep the day of Asia, but really they're a day behind. They're the day of America. So really Yom Kippur was on Thursday that year. And then 10th of Tishrei, halachically Wednesday, Yom Ravi, but what they call Thursday. So the Chazon Ish told them, eat on Wednesday, fast on Thursday. Rav Herzig made a beis din, and he told them, fast on Wednesday, and eat on Thursday. Don't you dare fast on Thursday. And the Chazon Ish sent another telegram. Mr. Rav refused to be Mishnah Devin, for whatever reason that was, but he certainly refused to be Mishnah Devin. And he told them, eat on Wednesday, fast on Thursday. So the refugees had in their hands two telegrams from the Chazon Ish saying to eat on Wednesday, fast on Thursday, and one telegram from Herzig that was basically decided to eat on Thursday, fast on Wednesday. What's a refugee supposed to do under those circumstances? If you're Talmud of the Chazon Ish, you're definitely like the Chazon Ish. You do like the Chazon Ish, but like your Rebbe. That's Muskan. If you're not a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, and you can't work through this sugya, you don't know. And they have two conflicting sugya. What are you supposed to do? It's a low question. I discussed a little bit.
They were in Shanghai.
What? The beer was in Shanghai a bit, but you had plenty of refugees still in Japan, still in Kobe. So they were the ones. They were the ones stuck. That was it. Was relevant to them. What he's supposed to do is stock a problem. What he's supposed to do under such circumstances, it's really a problem. Asha says they have to keep both days. And okay, so once it gets to Sakana, is it Shurim or whatever it is, or just eat a flower? It's not clear. I just asked a little bit of my safer what has in each, like how he was going to go ahead and dissuade them from fasting on the day that they told them when they can't work through the food themselves. And the Chazanish is near it. It's not simple, the answer to that question, but was simple, this is what happened to them. They ended up. So we're way past that. Yeah, we're 70, 80 years after that. We're past that now. But Lamaisa, that was their, that was their son. Yeah.
Are there any Jews living in Japan now? Living,
first of all, they're always Lubavitchers, right?
Okay, I'm saying, so what they do, they
if they're no Lubavitchers, no, the place is dead, right? Or very, very poor, yeah.
So what they keep them different?
Lama. We'll get there. That's all the way at the end of this year, okay? I promise we'll get there all the way at the end of this year. I have to keep some bait on the hook, yeah? I want people to leave in a bit. Now, okay. Honor of Herzl Kvester. But Tukashinsky, we heard about it already. You know his opinion. There's also a Zipes of Frank of Israel Melton, and many were on the basement. There are many who didn't attend. Chris Grub didn't attend, Rebecca didn't attend, the Hasanish didn't attend, many didn't attend, many did attend. But this is all Melton, Zipes of Frank attended. They came with a different opinion. They came to the same result, a different opinion of Tukashinsky, a different logic. They said there's a halacha at the end of Hilda Shabbos, Simishin Dalit Mem, that if a person gets lost, disconnected from civilization. And that means nowadays, all the batteries on his devices ran out. Everything's dead, right? He momaged. He has food, but he much doesn't know what to do with himself, right? His fingers are just, they're running over time. I'm not stuck. So any event, but this fellow, he doesn't know what day it is. So Allah says that the first day he realizes he forgot the day. That's what he calls Sunday. And then he counts Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And the seventh day, he makes Shabbos. He makes Kiddush, he daven Shabbos, he makes Shaitzim to Shabbos, he makes Shabbos. What malach is he going to do on each day? That's beyond what we're discussing today, but it's on the board there. That's not our discussion now. But the point is, seventh day, he makes Shabbos. The Radvaz, Chaylik Aleph, Simon Ayin Vav, says that Shabbos, even though the likelihood of it really being Shabbos, as you all know, 1 in 7, right? Which means not high odds, not very high odds. Nevertheless, that is invested with all the chashivas, all the import of Shabbos. The real Shabbos, just like if you're observing the real Shabbos, he proves an interesting way. Again, beyond the scope of what we can do now, it's very, really fascinating, but we have to trim a bit here. Yeah. So he says it has a full import of Shabbos, which means that. The Iker Shabbos, he explains the Radvaz, is that a person should keep 6 days week and a seventh-day Shabbos. That's Iker Shabbos. So if you have a Masorah from our Sinai, what day Shabbos is, we're good. If we don't have a Masorah from our Sinai, so then we got to make our own. But that's Iker, invested full Shabbos. Now, this is almost what the effect said. That the same way someone who doesn't know makes Shabbos, and it's really Shabbos, same way, someone, when they're coming to the land of doubt, the 90 degrees in between the Chazon Ish's Kav and Rabbi Yochim of the Tukhachinsky's Kav, and they don't know what part of the world where Shabbos is, so they bring Shabbos with them. They didn't get lost, but now they don't know what Shabbos is, but it's okay, because they know what day they're coming, Tuesday, so they count them and days on Shabbos. So the first guys there made the Shabbos. And that's Shabbos. And that's Shabbos for that place. There's no other Shabbos to make. And that Shabbos invested fully with the dinim of Shabbos. That's what they said. The first guys are Kuvay. Really, there's a spot for that. The Kuzri. Because the Kuzri basically says just that. Kuzri says civilization spread for the day with them. That's what the Nomach Log is about, what the day is. And the entire European, Asian, African land. So really, they don't quote the Kuzri. They don't quote the Kuzri. They're dealing basically on their advice. They said that. They said that Japan was settled from Asia. So the day extended from the landmass across the coast over that little strait to Japan. And therefore that Japan is keeping the day of Asia makes sense. Makes sense. And that's the day they should keep. There are many, many questions. Like, the rabbis didn't say all of this. The rabbis were just talking about specific things. They learned it from the rabbis. But many questions. Who makes this determination? The first guy there, 10 people, a minion, adults, children.
Council. Women.
What?
Council.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Council. In 1840,
the Goyim.
No, that's not exactly what they would say. It's not individual. The first guy there made the Shabbos. Basically, Kuzri more or less says that to some extent, not using the Svara, but the first guy there made the Shabbos. The first guy, the tenth guy, a minion, not a minion. Once you're there, what's considered there? There means like low, you know, that the Mapech was right behind his back. Or there means you get Tzum Shabbos, you're abundant, the rice, so you'd base meal.
Everybody goes, it keeps on counting.
No, that's not what they're saying. They're not saying that everyone who comes makes his own decision. They're not saying that. They're saying, the first guy there is Kobe, and now here's Shabbos. Since there's no other definition of Shabbos here, they define Shabbos. That's what they say. Yeah, they define Shabbos. And but these are all difficult because to have. That this is the resolution to decide when Shabbos is, and we have no way, absolutely no way of resolving all these questions. It's a problem. There are two more bigger questions. Yeah.
Two guys get lost in the desert. What guy gets to this spot first?
No, he can't make the Shabbos. It's those guys first. That's absolutely first. Five of them find each other. Each one forgot what day Shabbos was, a different day. They all keep a different day. So and that's a lot of them. Because here we're talking about that the place has a definition of Shabbos already. That's what the Rabbi says. The Rabbi says the reason why you have to keep Shabbos at Pesach Nefesh the rest of the week is because it might actually be Shabbos and you don't realize it. In other words, the place is defined. But here they held this place to be undefined. So therefore, the first person makes a definition. The Saltar is more to height. There's plenty of it over here. But at any rate, that's what I think. Okay, now, there are two, but I'm just telling you, there, we'll see what else we have here. There are two main questions here. The first and most important is the Rabbis is talking about Shabbos. Even if you extrapolate from the Rabbis to what they want to say, he's only talking about Shabbos. Halacha and Shabbat with them is only Shabbos. In the month it is, then you got to look at the moon and make your best guess, the Bir Halacha says in Shabbat with them. So now you see it's for sure not a full moon anymore, so you know it's not first day Yom. You know, it's not first day Pesach, it's not first day Sukkot. You see that's a full moon, you know, it's not Yom Kippur. You see some moon, you know, it's not Rosh Hashanah. You got to do your best. Otherwise, you got to be Machber. There's no connection between the day of the week and the day of the month. Even though when we announce the Chodesh, you say Rosh Chodesh, you have Yom Revi, that's because to say Rosh Chodesh, you have Rosh Chodesh, would be pretty funny, right? Be pretty silly. We also get boring month after month. Like, I know that already. I got to figure it out. Yeah. We have to say something, so we say with it, but there's no connection. The day of the month is not connected to the day of the week. So not connected. So they're trying to answer when Yom Kippur is. Maybe this is a formula for Shabbos. What do about Shabbos? But it's not a formula to know when Yom Kippur is. That's a pel. That's a pel. The pel. The pel. And the second pel is, let's take a look at this map. So North America, South America, 85 kilometers across the Bering Strait. That's the path from Asia. The path from Europe, you got a whole bunch of long jumps here between the UK and some islands, and Iceland, which is really green, and Greenland, which is really ice. And then you gotta go all the way up here and down here and through all this, and then you get to North America. And they didn't have cross-ocean travel in those days. They really didn't. So if we had to guess where North America was settled from, we don't have this. But what? You have to venture. And you're like, this is probably most likely, right? Probably. If we're being honest, this is most likely. Someone said, no, this is Eastern Siberia, it's inhospitable, and maybe they sent it on. This is probably most likely, which means in North America, the Americas were settled from Asia, which means an initial settlement determines based on the Kuzri, which really seems to be much of even Goyish settlement for its peoples. So then, I hate to say it, but everyone in America is doing it wrong. They're keeping Shabbos on Saturday, keeping Shabbos on Sunday. They all got it wrong. It's true that it's true that when
the Vikings,
when someone came, which the daughter came to Seattle, the Pasha was scared and he didn't know which day to keep. And when Yaakov came to Seattle originally, he was kept 2 days because he was assuming what Seattle was until we got to work out. But the Maisa, the Shita can't lead to everyone being wrong. It's logic from reverse, admittedly. It's logic from reverse, but that's just how it is. There's nothing that ends up that the whole world is doing something wrong. That's not, even if you're right, you're wrong. That's not that logic. It doesn't make a difference. Your bunch of didn't work things out like that. So,
did Americans have a 7-day week?
That's an excellent question. And I researched whether the native Asians had a 7-day week, and I discovered that many of them did not. But the Kuzari says that's how it works, right? Meaning that even if they didn't know what the week they were keeping, but they're still keeping that same day. In other words, that's what the Kuzari means. Even if they didn't have a 7-day week, but Lamaisa, that's the same. They don't recognize being a different day. So when everything got sorted out, that's how it works. That's what you have to say.
Everybody had a 7-day.
Those we spoke to, yeah. Okay. But that's Lachar. I try to fill in the gaps. That's my job. Okay, so we're going to put that sheet aside for now. Okay, we're putting it aside, but we discussed it. Now, moving back to the Iker Shittas that we have, I have to give a little bit of Hakdama to understand how the Chazanish gets this out of the Baal Amor and the Kuzim. Okay, we have to understand a little about the Molad. I'm sure you just learned the Daf, and everyone here is already a Bucky in the Molad and the Moon and everything, and great Legate Shir and everything. But for those who would appreciate a little Hazara, for those who didn't quite get it the first time, he does a briefly review here and see what it is. We understand what we mean when we say Molad. Okay? Now, see here is the path of the sun around the earth. Yes, the earth goes around the sun, but as the earth rotates, it looks like the sun goes around the earth. That's what we're talking about. The apparent path of the sun and the sky around the earth, daily path. That's the yellow guy here. Okay? The moon basically follows the same path over the month as it moves in the sky, except that it goes down 5 degrees away from the sun's path and up 5 degrees, which means that this is basically to the south of the sun, this is to the north of the sun. The moon, and twice a month, the moon is exactly at the sun's path. But most of the month, the moon is either south or north of the sun's path in the sky. And that's good news for us. Because when the molad, we'll see what the molad is in a moment. When the molad occurs, when the moon is exactly the sun's path, that means as we look in the sky, you see the moon, and the back of it mamishes the sun. And that's called a solar eclipse. Because all the light of the sun is blocked by the moon. That's a solar eclipse. Okay, a solar eclipse does not happen every molad. Every chodesh is not a solar eclipse, right? There are seasons for solar eclipse. However it works out, it doesn't happen every. Why not? Because the moon is not at the same place in this cycle, not at the same place by every moment. It shifts. There's a reason why it shifts. I could explain it, but it's complicated enough as it is. But let's just take our word for it that it's not always in the same place. Like on Yud B'Chodesh, it's not that the moon is always here and always here. It varies. It shifts as time goes on. It shifts. And that's why it's not always the same. But when it's at the molad, that's where it is. Normally, it's to the north or the south of the sun, and therefore it's not a problem. Let's see this close up, okay? Here's a picture of what it looks right before the molad. The moon is to the west of the sun in the sky, to the west of the sun, which means at sunset, you've got this big bright sun that's following the moon, and you cannot possibly see the old moon. You can't see the old moon at sunset. Rashi says, can't see it at sunset. When can you see it? You see the old moon at sunrise. When the moon rises before the sun, because it's more west of the sun, and the sun is still below the horizon, and it's not blinding the view of the moon yet, and you can still see the little bit of crescent that's left of the moon at sunrise. Not at sunset, because the sun's still in the sky. At sunrise, because the moon rises before it. Now, as the molad approaches, the moon moves east in the sky towards the sun. And eventually, at this moment here, that's the moment of the molad, when it's the same light. If it's right here, it's a solar eclipse. If it's to the north of the sun, or the south of the sun, which it most often is, you can't see the moon, because the sun's here, and the moon's here, and all the light of the sun's going on the moon. You can't, there's not enough reflection to see it. but the sun still shines on Earth, so you won't have a solar eclipse. But that's the moment. When the moon gets to this point, this line here, even with the sun, that's the moment. And then as time progresses after the moment, it continues its trek to the east until it's east of the sun. And this is the new moon. This is the new crescent, that the moon is now east of the sun, which means when you see the new moon? At sunset, because the sun sets first, and then the moon is left in the sky, not for too long, but that's when you can see it. But at sunrise, you cannot see the new moon, because the sun rises first, the moon after it, and you'll never be able to see it. Okay, that's what Rashi says there. Now, except for Lamaisa, the moon at the time of the Molad is north and south of the sun. I would have thought the Gemara on Daf Chav Dalet, 10 days ago. That's a long time in Daf Yomi life. Yeah, but the Gemara wants to know what it means Lahechan Unota Lutzaf Ladarim, and it gives a shot that is talking about one part of the year, the other part of the year. But I had this question: that why didn't just say we know that sometimes the moon at the Molad is north of the sun, and sometimes south of the sun. When it's north of the sun, it's going to be melted to the moon, you know, to the south. When it's south, it's going to melt to the north. Why don't they say that? That's like a galactic shot, Lachar. That is the astronomical shot. So why do the Gemara say that? I have discussion. I don't know if this is brought up in the Shir year. I don't know. I assume not. But and the answer that I came up with is because it's so close that it's not nicker enough. Because mostly the moon is behind to the west, to the east of the sun. And that the little faint tilt an aide is not going to see. Someone who's untrained is not going to see. Didn't bother asking that question. Just about asking the gross question, not dependent on the time of the year. And not this question, which was too hard for the dwarf thing. That's what I think. But moving on, that's the moment, okay? Now, how much time is required for the moon to move east of the sun? How far away does it have to get before you can see the crescent? How far away? The crescent's big enough that a human eye can see it. Rashi on the Daf says 6 hours. The Balamor and the Kuzri say 24 hours. The Yisodolim was the Talmud of the Rosh says 22 and a half hours. The Ravid says 18 hours. It's what we call a machlokes in Mitzias. In Shiva, we've been taught there's no such thing as a machlokes in Mitzias. There can't be arguing about a machlokes in Mitzias. I mean, the Rishonim sometimes ask, Bukhazi, and just see what's going on. Moses asked that by Ben Ashmash. Like, sometimes we do ask the question. The Gogon asked, and I remain with Tommy. What are you talking about? It's not like that. But whatever it is, they have machlokas here in Mitzvahs. It can be mitigated somewhat, but it's not important. They have a big machlokas. The entire Pshat of Balmor Nekuzri is based on what they hold. That has to be 24 hours away from the time when the moon was here. It has to travel to these 24 hours before you can see it. That's what it's based on. So now let's see it in the Sukkah. Okay, here's the Gemara. Chaf on the base in Rosh Hashanah.
What is the Mitzvah?
Scientifically. Mitzvah is the you can be certain that would be the answer, right? It depends. It depends. Let me show you. I'll show you why. The moon can be 5 degrees north, 5 degrees south of the sun. That also will help you see the crescent. When the moon is very close to the Kaab, the only distance you have to the sun and the moon is on that's linear. It's on the same line. Here you have a diagonal distance, yeah, that contributes to how visible it is. The moon is most visible when at the Molad it's 5 degrees north or 5 degrees south. Because then you already have that space from get-go. You already have that space. In fact, there's a photographer who actually took a picture, special camera, of course, of the moment of the Molad. He obviously did it in daytime. Which is another pillar. But the moment, the moon b'chidush omash. Now the truth is, we can also see a moon b'chidush by a solar eclipse, because we know that's what we're seeing. But mamash, a crescent of the moon. How did he do that? He did that. Obviously, he didn't write. That's what he did. But that's for sure what he did. He did that in a month when the moon was 5 degrees north or south. And so yeah, it had a chance. Yeah. So that will have hashpah and how soon you can see the moon, right? Because in 24 hours. The moon moves 12 degrees away approximately from the sun. If you already have 5 degrees built in, you got to cut your time in half or something like that. Not quite on the diagonal, but you understand. This is over people's head. I know, I'm sorry. That wasn't by my company, but I just answered your question, okay? The person who asked the question, get the answer. Yeah? Okay, good. All sorts of messages. Okay, now moving on. Moving on. And the Rebbe already said it's very good. Now, two main words in Gemara Chacham Beis. Really, the three main words, we can't deal with that. Reb Zaira said, you want to make a day Rosh Chodesh? This is the day I want to make Rosh Chodesh. The night and the day both have to be after the moment. The night and the day both have to be after the moment. Otherwise, you can't make a Rosh Chodesh. Number one. And then, Abba Buddha Reb Simoy said that if you have a molad that happens before noon, then it's shaykh to see the noon crescent before sunset or at sunset. Otherwise, you can't. Two neighbors, all right? What are they talking about? On to the Kuzri. Balmor Kuzri say the same thing. As far as this point goes. Kuzri says, where's the molad? In Yerushalayim. By the way, anyone who's looking at time, well, it's at the end. Okay? So, it's always good to know the end is near. Yerushalayim. The molad before noon in Yerushalayim. Where is it that you can see the sun? Sorry, you see the new crescent of the moon? At the eastern edge of China. Not the same place the molad. The molad Yerushalayim, where can you see it? Before sunset in China, not in Yerushalayim. You can't pause in Yerushalayim because 6 hours later is too, but the sun sets too soon. And where is it that the night and the day are both after the molad? In China, at the far east end of China. Same place. That place is where you see the moon. That place is where the night and day are after the molad. What molad are we talking about? Yerushalayim. And the Balamor says the same thing. Again, the molad is Yerushalayim. We're talking about they see it at the edge of the east. And the edge of the east is where the night and day after the molad. Same thing, okay? Now let's just see this pictorially worked out, okay? By the way, it's a new slide with Fodchem, okay? Let's work it out. Here we have a noon molad. Here's Yerushalayim. By the way, here's also Yerushalayim. It's going to help us view this. It's Shabbos at noon. That's an example. That would be Shabbos at noon. Okay, Leil Shabbos Bakhisa, 90 degrees to the east, is Leil Shabbos. This is all of the Kuzri and the Balamor's chapter that we're going to see in a moment. Midnight Shabbos is right here, 100 degrees opposite, 80 degrees opposite. Shabbos sunrise is over here, 180 degrees from Yerushalayim. Okay, now this is at the time of the moment. After 6 hours, we now have 6 hours has passed. Sunset has moved from the edge of China to Yerushalayim. Noon to, on an equinox day, noon to sunset is 6 hours. Sunset has moved here. Sunset is depicted by orange here, noon by the yellow, and midnight by the brown. Sunrise also by the orange. Sunset has moved here. We now have sunset, and this is, I call it, Abdullah sunset. Now we're coming to Moshe Shabbos. Okay? So it takes 6 hours until noon turned into sunset here in Shalom. 6 hours in, right? Another 18 hours. The other 18 hours takes us as sunset moves from Yerushalayim 270 degrees to the west. That's 18 hours. The whole world's 360 degrees. That's 24 hours. 18 hours, three quarters of it is 270 degrees. 270 degrees to the west, ending up right here, 24 hours after Molad, here in Yerushalayim at Sunday noon, and here it's sunset at Abdul, which means, and now you can finally see the moon where? On the same day, on Shabbos, just at the end of Shabbos.
Why do you say the other one is Saturday midnight?
Again. It is Saturday at midnight.
Yeah?
Saturday at midnight, meaning six, not Shabbos. I try to use Monday Shabbos, okay? Saturday.
Before
Abdullah? No. This way after Abdullah, they have Lava Malka, everything. They went bowling, they're finished already. They're going to sleep now. They check their emails, everything. Saturday at midnight. Yeah, and this is Sunday at sunrise. That's how it works. Right? Just think twice times California, New York, and then you get it eventually. I know that it's mind blowing. And this is nighttime here, that's why I put it in greater. Okay? So over here, we started at the molad. We started. What's happening here? We started. It was Leil Shabbos, and 24 hours later, we are at sunset as it goes into Mother Shabbos, but it's still the same thing. So from this, the Balamor and the Kuzari prove that the day continues
to the west of Yerushalayim for 18 hours. This is Chazanish's Yud Ches Shos, 18 hours. It goes here, it continues, and it goes here, and it has to be the same day. And this is the whole day that was after the Molad, still on the same day of the Molad. And this is where you can see it's still on the same day. So now by now it's Sunday in Yerushalayim. But the Molad was on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, and it's still Shabbos here, just at the end of Shabbos. So the day goes all the way here. How do we know the day doesn't? How do I know the day doesn't go further?
Did you see the moon away?
What?
The people in China cannot see the moon.
The people at the edge of China. You're asking a really good question. Because this is what the first. Let me. We need one more step here. How do you know it doesn't go further? How do you know? Okay, fine. You're right. So it goes. How do you know the sunset doesn't continue and Shabbos continue further inland? Maybe the line someplace here. I know it's here. That's because, as Chazal said, it has to be before Chatzos. If the line would come here, then even if, let's say, the deadline would be 2 o'clock, 20 hours after 2 o'clock, it'll be here. Right? That's 24 hours to sunset, and then another 20 hours, it'll bring the sun here. If this is still the same day, it doesn't have to be noon each light. The fact that noon is a deadline means this is the maximum schlep you can get. And right from here on, forget it. It's too late. And as we see in the next slide, that this is the line. And over here is Sunday, and over here is sunset, meaning going to Monday, going to Yom Sheni, and here is Abdullah sunset, meaning going to Motzei Shabbos. And this has to be the line. It has to go at least up to here, because otherwise you can't see the moon, you don't have one day, and it can't go past, because the deadline was Moon Yerushalayim. You don't get it?
I got that. Abdullah is already Jewish Sunday, sorry. So you want to see the moon?
Yeah, but this is right. It is. It's before. I'm just saying. It's right at sunset. Right at sunset. Right at sunset, I see. Right at sunset.
So on Shabbos, so you're still on
Shabbos. It's still Shabbos, exactly. Still Shabbos. Now, that's took a chance. Yes, where are these people? They didn't ask you. So Olam asked a question of Rosh Hashanah. Where are these people? Like, they're not here. They're not there. Like, here's too early. Here's too late. Like, where are they? They live in this little space of nothing. The Chazanish said, it just means that Shia said the thing, even though there's really no place for them to live. Chazanish was very adamant about that. It doesn't have to be, we have actually any space. It would be a boon for real estate. You could live someplace on any land, so just imagine. The government might have trouble with that helmet a little bit, but they'll figure it out. Right? Just add it to the plastic cups, I'm sure. Alright, so now, okay, so that's that. Now the Chazanish, that's what Chazanish gets achieved from there, okay? The Chazanish sheet refines the sheet. Even though the line is here, the Chazanish goes with the Kuzari, goes with the Yesod Olam's Kasha. Solom says, it's not Shia for a line to split the land. If the line splits the land, you have two people sitting at the table. And I'm having super Shabbos, you have love Melka. And there's nothing in between us, right? Not even a hecker for someone who's white. It's like nothing, no hecker, like your shot. The Lo Yitachein to have such a situation. Where invisible lines separate Shein and it doesn't work. Yeah. It really doesn't work. It's a very strong spar. It can't be developed to put Shabbos in a way that no one can tell where it ends and where it begins. Right? So the coastline is a good answer for that. What's the coastline? It's the coastline. It's very clear. You can still ask, where's the coastline? And the tide comes in, the tide comes out, and people swim in. They ask all these questions, but let's put them aside for now. But it's at least a clear definition of where it is. So if it's land, it extends to the end, just like the Kuzari said. Kiddush of the Chazanish is not this. This is because we already said the Feirish. The Kiddush is Australia. That's Australia, if you take a look at it, is very different from Siberia. Number one, this is 3/4 of Australia on the American side, and 1/4 on the Eretz Yisrael side, on the Asian side. Eastern Siberia is a nice big place, but still, compared to all of Asia and Africa and Europe, which all connect to each other, it's the minority. So you're saying the minority gets schlepped after the majority. Okay. But you're saying that 3/4 of the space gets swept after 1/4, is that Kiddush number one. Kiddush number two is that, say, the part on Eretz Yisrael side is primary, makes a whole lot more sense when it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Like Siberia, here it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Then it does in Australia, which is an island, it's not connected to Eretz Yisrael. It's just a piece of land floating in the water here. Yeah? So how do you, there are two Kiddushim to take what the model from Siberia, which really Kuzari is in the core of that, and schlep it to Australia. The Chazanish says, wait a minute. The Chazanish says, okay, the two chidushim. I hold this to say, I hold the same thing. Well, Eretz Yisrael is primary, even though it's not connected, even though it's a minority. I always tell Australians, let me take your question now. I always tell Australians, you're a lot better off than love is like the Chazanish. Because then for sure, over here, you're on the Asian side. What your calendar says Saturday is Shabbos. Well, like the Chazanish, you need these two chidushim. If this is really the line with the Chazanish, then you need his two chidushim to say that you're keeping Shabbos on the right day. Usually a chiddush about what they keep Shabbos in some accord. The Chazanish says in Mikoya that he held us like that. I want to just put this disclaimer on the table here. No one should walk away thinking anything different. Ani Akata and all of us together, I'm not including the Rav, just us here. Together, right? Together. As smart as we might be, and 100 times smarter than that, we don't come up with Chazanish's answers. If we have questions on the Chazanish has answers for all the questions. And we should never think otherwise. And I'm not saying otherwise. All I'm saying is like this. When you pass in Allah, the Gemara says that if a Zaken gave a Psaq, he's not around anymore. So you can't rip up the Psaq, even though you push don't understand it. Because if he were here, he would maybe have some answers. But to take that Psaq and use it to extrapolate to a different case where you don't understand it, you can't do that. Because Engel Dain El Mashen of those. So when the Paiskin came to Psaq Halacha, so no one was saying it's part of the Chazanish. But if you're running with Kashas, so then you can't take that and then pass it something else. That's Lukhara what's happening. In any event, Australia's a big giant fish.
Was this
a bit? Well, you had a question, I'm sorry.
What make a difference because they'll play a pause or here then can be totally different?
Sorry, again, this is
love equation.
What was say?
The love equation.
Right.
Here can be totally different.
It's a different season, so you're saying it's much more than 6 hours.
I understand. And others are saying, yes, it would be very different. It's a point I want to avoid. And I will avoid it. As I've said, I have addressed it, so I want to bring it up. The Balamor says that the entire Shiloh Gemara is relevant only to the latitude of Yerushalayim, which comes out right through downtown Shanghai. That's it. The whole Shiloh Gemara, forget about here, forget about everything. It's relevant to only one line. That's what the Balamor says. The whole Sugya is discussing just this kind, the latitude of Yerushalayim. So it's not, that's the answer to your question. It's not relevant. The Gemara doesn't have to work here. Really, your question is much deeper than that. But I don't want to bring people down here deeper than I already brought them. Yeah, I want people to still be able to breathe here, okay? But for more information, you see here. Really, the Balamor and the Kuzri don't even talk about the Deklin. The Balamor certainly doesn't, because they're only talking about one point of intersection here of the Labs of Yerushalayim and the day. So he didn't say what happens here. But that's okay. That's beyond beyond the scope of what we're doing here.
It's
well,
in the
land
of the Chazanish. Is that according to the
Minhag
of Australia or against the
Minhag
of Australia?
No, that's the Minhag of Australia. The Minhag of Australia is Taibet. That would seem to be the result of everybody. The Minhag of Australia is Taibet. So let's just make a sum. If we had to guess how you pass it, you have the Tukashinsky's line, which was based all on a story that things have to be equal. Same number of degrees east of Yerushalayim, which is center of West Yerushalayim. We saw in the Balamor and the Kuzari that they don't hold that's such a necessity. Because they were willing to say you could have 270 degrees west of Yerushalayim and only 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, and then the Seder Gomorrah. So basically, you have two Rishonim saying that this Sfara is Lochesh. And then you have the Chazanish saying that the Balamor and the Kuzari is a pin of all Rishonim. Now, they're the only Rishonim, except for the Ran, who says that Shas like the Balamor. Now, the only Rishonim learn the Gemara like that. Rashi and the Daf doesn't learn like that. Tos and Daf learn like that. The Raya, but the Rishonim don't learn like that. But the Chazanish held, since they don't say that the Balamor and the Kuzari were wrong about what they said about the dateline, they didn't say dateline. But what they're wrong about, they said that the day you extend 270 degrees this way. Since they never said they're wrong, that means they didn't disagree. Because the Balamor and the Kuzari didn't just get this out of the shot they say in the Gemara, they had a couple of events. Now, how they had a Kabbalah and no one else had a Kabbalah, and usually Kabbalahs we need. Chazal told us there's a Sifra, there's a Toset, there's something, there's some accord for Kabbalah. How can it? Not only that, the Balam Mor himself,
when he explains why this Nakuda
is important over here, he calls a second Nakuda. He doesn't say because that's where the bank money is.
If he had a Kabbalah, he's starting with his job because that's where the bank line is.
Excuse me. It's not gold. It's not gold. Most nails will drip, I promise. And no, they'll need my everything, even a top your rope. Nicole, hopefully, I'm a pleasure production. Also. It's the most important thing that I can have.
So, when the Chazon Ish, excuse me, when the,
someone help me, where I was here.
When the Balam Mor explains the importance of this point, he says, because the Rabbanu Shlomo, when he comes to the world, he comes to Erech HaMizrach, it's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and he appears to Mizrach. That's why this point is special. If you have a Kabbalah that this is a nightline, you know what's special about this point? Because that's where it is. Why are you hiding it? If Balam Mor didn't spare any space in introduction, he gave a long introduction before he said the Pshat. Tell us that you have a Kabbalah. Well, come here, tell us you have a Kabbalah. And the Chazon Ish has to tell us if really you're dealing. So there are kashas, the Seder, and there are other kashas. There's 3 degrees missing here, is a kasha, a lot of kashas. You have kashas, all right? But when you're done with the kashas, you don't want to pass like a Chazon Ish. Okay. So why run over here? This is refuted. Chinuch de Mishnah is refuted by the Balam Mor. Even if you say they would have said something different, but it's refuted. How you're running from the frying pan to the fire. What are you taking on this job instead of this job? As a plea. And then basically the post, say something a little different. Or Ramosha, Rav Kistetner, Rav Guzman, Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, and even Rav Osner to an extent. Basically all hold the Ikim Shad, Ikar Locha, not Rav Chaim. Chaim says that Ikar Locha is like the Chazon Ish, and that's not even correct. He says only Allah is like the Chazon Ish. That's Rav Chaim when she talks, okay? But the same, so that's Rav Chaim says. But the post gates man as this man ha'achron basically are all of them like mine, that this is the Yikrelo. You daven in this place, you daven like the Chiyum Mechon. You daven like Chiyum Mechon, like the Asian day for all these places. You daven like Chiyum Mechon, you daven like Chiyum Mechon, and we'll see exactly how it comes out. But that plea is why they hold it. Let's just see the summary of what they hold.
All these man they from the Shlomo Zalman, they're passing against the Chazon Ish.
They pass what they pass, and if it turns out to get Chazon Ish, it gets Chazon Ish. No, it's very. What I just said is very important. So that, I'm asking that. I'm saying Tachlis. How can it be that this, which is a rejected Shita by the Rishonim, Lachara, Rishonim saying it's not so. They don't care that it's not even. And the Chazon Ish, whatever Kashi happens, Chazon Ish, there are Kashis. So even if you say you don't want to pass like that, but how do you get here? How do you get over here? Well, so that we're going to finish with that answer. But before we do that, let's just see what they do say. Alaska. Now, how do I know what they say at all? I didn't go around canvassing the Gedolim, but there were people who did. Rav Taplin, Saul Taplin, Lechler did. Rav Gershon Best from Los Angeles did. He went around asking the post what they said. Now, between you, me, and the doorpost, when he asked the post, like, when he's busy with I don't know what. What's Allah in Alaska? What's Allah in Japan? What's Allah here? If he stops and he writes a tshuva for you, then you have something to work with. If he tells you it's like this, like this, like this, you really have nothing to base it on. You don't know why he answered it, what the question was, what the answer is. This is all kfir what I'm telling you, okay? I don't want to pass it. I came here and David Shulman brought in some and said kfir. Yeah, but Pashit, what are you going to do with it? You can't build with it. You don't know where they're coming from, what they're answering, what they're asking. It's very difficult. But I didn't create the system. That's the system from Sakhalov nowadays in a lot of places. So I didn't create that. Certainly in the Dateline, that's the only Sakhalov we have. Except for Rav Osner, at least wrote a tshuva who said, like, Sakhalov is a Bechina Mechel, but we can't dismiss it depending on the Chazon Ish when Mashiach comes. But it's not no tshuvas here. It's just whatever Rav Osner. What?
Nothing in English Moshe.
No. I mean, not the best Rav David, no better than me, but no. It's not there. Rav Avani also didn't write it. And Yalkut Yosef, and Yochus Tzilin, there's a little deal of what he holds. Yeah. I want to tell you something. It's not so simple to write something about this. I want to get an Askoman from Yaakov Hillel for the sake. Yaakov Hillel would have given me an Askoman. I had. He gave me an Askoman and said, but why? He said, you say, Lady Chazon Ish, I said, I don't care about the fact that Chazon Ish said, forget
Why? Not because he learned Kol Hasmich. I had people did that to me too. Two big Golem would give it to me because I learned Kol Hasmich. But he said because a few months before one of his Rashi Kolel, but they put out a Hilchus or whatever it is, Lalacha, they put out a monthly or bimonthly, and he wrote a piece and he didn't go with the Hasmich. And he got dragged under the carpet with Yaakov Hillel. What do I need it for? I've got to do with my life. And more things to do that's not I'm focusing my life on. I'm saying not like a cousin. So we never said not like a cousin. Okay. Sometimes we say something and it's not like a cousin. Okay. But then we think not. Okay. Moving on. So the kids are Alaska. I don't know the answer because for best when he went around, didn't ask him about Alaska. Okay. However, Rav Chiya Milo Tukashinsky in his country says he doesn't know what to do with Alaska. He doesn't know what to do with Alaska because it's on the wrong side of the line, meaning they call it Saturday, but really it's, they call it Friday. I didn't need to do that. They call it Friday, but really it's Shabbos. He doesn't know what to do with it. The Chazanish offered some assistance to Rav Chiya Milo. He said, listen, here's Rav Chiya Milo. You see, please. I'll listen to you after I'm done. You just saw the question. He said, listen, this is a little, Alaska's big, but it's only this compared to all North America. North America, you know what it is? This is attached. That means in North America, the Seder. So over here, Lashita, see, I don't have a problem. I know that they're doing the right thing because they're on the American side of the line. You have a problem, it's on the Asian side of the line. Don't worry, it's all attached to your doing. There's been a lot of problem with that. Because he's volunteered with Michal how to resolve his problem. Like Rav Avadya sometimes helps Ashkenazim with their psak halacha, right? But you still have a question? No. Fine. Okay, next. Check the list. We're getting to why. Everything. Oh, yes, here's Siberia. Here we go. One, six spots we got. Here's Siberia, okay? Siberia, everyone holds they're doing the right thing. Or because if you're doing the right thing, they're right outside of line. But if you're the Chazanish, like the Kuzri, like it's tough up to their control side. So when I say it's Saturday, it's Shabbos, it's Saturday. And in Eastern China, and Harbin, and everything else. That's good. Okay? Next, Japan. Japan is what I call Monday and Tuesday. Meaning, the Iker and Halacha is like the Chiyum Michal. When it says it's Saturday, you don't have a Shabbos students. They make Kiddush. But also, in deference to the Chazanish, you also have to go ahead and say that they got their calendar wrong. And Sunday, you also have to keep Malach as the rest. That's the consensus. Not all one side. Rish Lomo Zalman wasn't worried about that. And Rish Steinberg wasn't worried about that. And not everyone was worried about that. Rav Kusma wasn't worried about that. But that's the basic consensus of the post. If you understand. However, there's an exception. The exception is if you live in Japan. If you live in Japan, you look completely like the Yechim Mechel Tavishim, which is what they do there. How do I know that? No one says the thing, but I know that. Because someone named Rebelli Putney, who works in Conscious, who lives now in Phoenix, he works at Star K. Before he worked for Star K, he was offered a position, a rabbinical position in Auckland. He doesn't want to keep 2-day Shabbos. He can't keep 2-day Shabbos. It's not viable to go to a place, take a position, keep 2-day Shabbos forever. Not going to work. So Rav Morgenstern took his Shaila into Rebel Yashiv. Like I have, it's all mitzvah. I know exactly how it happened. Warrington took a shot to Yashid and said, here's a guy who's going to want to live in New Zealand. What did you do about Shabbos? And Rabbi Yashid asked him, he only has to keep the day, like Rabbi Michal Tukashinsky, and he doesn't have to be choshish for the chazan each at all. Now, I explain that. Even though Rabbi Yashid said you do have to be choshish for the chazan, what's the yishuv? Yishuv is, if you're visiting, you have to give due cover to the chazan each. The difference of chazan each for his opinion. If you live there, the minikah makom is kodeya. The minigam welcome to Kodega, and that's your day. So therefore, that's what they do over there, and that's your day also. Since the Iker Alon, that's like the Chiyum Michal, now you can keep the Iker Alon. You don't have to worry about the Mach like the Chazanish. Hawaii, which is relevant to some people, Japan's relevant to me. Hawaii is really the same halacha as Japan, except in reverse. The Iker Alon is like the Chiyum Michal, which means when they say it's Friday, it's really Saturday, it's really Shabbos, which means Shabbos Baker is on Friday. You light Shabbos candles, you make Kiddush Thursday night. You daven Shabbos, here's a Torah Friday. Bael Shai left Saturday, Friday night. You got a call, but you keep still off the rice. You make Havdalah Saturday night. Just like they do. You keep 2 days Shabbos. Lubavitchers don't do that. Lubavitchers only go ahead and keep Shabbos the way it is. Saturday, Shabbos, Sunday, after Shabbos, Friday, Erev Shabbos. Yes, they. Yeah. But living there is a heter if you're doing like the Iker Shita. Living there is not a heker, a heter if you're doing like the not Iker Shita. And they hold Iker Shita like B'chiyu Michel. Then you're not B'choshish for the extra thing. But if living there isn't going to let you go with a non-bright Shita. Lubavitchers don't do that. How they got to their psak is a fascinating story of Lubavitch's psak and how it works. And it's really based on a mistake that the very venerable Posek had. It's all here in chapter 8, volume 1. It's very fascinating. It's worth buying the whole set just for that. So interesting. You can even read that chapter even after your children shot. It's so good. So engaging. But Hawaii is a problem. Hawaii is a serious problem. Okay? Now, Australia, as we said, however you get there, everyone's keeping the right thing. What you do about swimming, Seder, also here, chapter 9. And New Zealand, just like Japan, here we go. And then I also have here the Indian Ocean, Madagascar. We don't have time for that. Wider even on this slide. No time for that. We discuss it. This makes sense if really the state line doesn't exist at all. So then the day just keeps on sliding in here. Palomar is only talking about here to say that that's beyond. Now, so back to our big question. This is our conclusion of the Shira today. The Chivahu Tlodishensi's line is really refuted by Luchari. That Svar is all based on Svar. And it's refuted by the Balamor and the Kuzer. Even if you have conscience on the Chazanich, you say, Rav Rishon, don't say like that. You say the Balamor basically said there is no deadline. Whatever you want to say. But how do you end up here, of all things? How did the post you end up over here? So please. And I'll tell you what I think the answer is. It's the conclusion. The Chazon Ish, the Baal HaMor, Chazon Ish never said the Tukashinsky Svara wasn't a good Svara. It's a great Svara. Yerushalayim's the middle. It makes sense for there to be half to the east and half to the west. That's a great Svara. He never said the Svara is wrong. He just said the Svara doesn't stand up in the face of Rishonim to say otherwise. If the post can reject the contention that Rishonim say otherwise, the Balamor and Kuzri said it, but whatever. They didn't say it applied as a dateline, they didn't say this, they didn't say that, they would have said something if they knew the geography, whatever it is. Most of them don't say like that. All the kashas. And they say, okay, there's so many kashas that we don't adopt this line. So they left with nothing. They left with one quarter of the earth's surface, and you don't know what to do. They can't be the both Shabbos Hefner. Shabbos is too important to leave Hefner for 1 night for 25%. It has to be a resolution. Some things, the Torah was Meisr L'Chachomim to be Poter L'Fi Chochmas. Balachas Cholamoy, maybe what the Lama Test Balachas are. It's not Mefurish, Mikramuot, but they decided how you define Lama Test Balachas. They decided how you define what Malachas said in Cholamoy and other things. Usually it was a Chachmea Gemara. But sometimes when the issue came up, now, so Eilucha Elisho Finisher Yibim Yimei, then it's given to them to decide. There are no makaris. If you don't go with this, there are no makaris. There's nothing. You have no makaris, and you're supposed to decide. So what can you decide with? Svara. Oh, this is a shameless svara. It doesn't stand up, and I've already shown it. But if this is off the table, so then the svara is kaveya. And that's how they ended up like that. They're both like, Grace or Shikaya. These are for sale if you want them. Autograph is included in the price. Thank you very much for listening.